107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Funeral services today for Hirsch Goldberg Poland, the 23-year-old kidnapped on October 7th. He and five others held for more than 300 days before being murdered by Hamas, their bodies retrieved from a tunnel under Rafah.
Analysts tell ABC News their deaths show Hamas is running out of resources and may be running out of room in those tunnels after months of Israeli advances. Prime Minister Netanyahu accuses Hamas of refusing to negotiate after the killing of one of the group's top leaders in July. Now the U.S. reportedly plans to present a, quote, take-it-or-leave-it deal in the coming weeks. The Washington Post reporting, if Israel and Hamas fail to accept the deal, it could mark the end of U.S.-led negotiations.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Thousands of hotel workers, many for Omni, Hyatt, and Hilton chains, on strike in eight cities. Talks between their union and the hotel owners broke down last week. Showing how important Pennsylvania is in the November election, President Biden and Vice President Harris both taking part in Pittsburgh's Labor Day parade today. This is ABC News. Federal investigators on the scene of a deadly small plane crash in Oregon.
A small plane crashing and killing three people. The twin-engine Cessna going down Saturday morning in Fairview, about 15 miles east of Portland, close to a regional airfield. The local fire chief confirming three people killed. The pilot, a passenger, and someone inside their own home. Julia Ritchie Cody says her sister lives two houses away.
My sister's lost her home. It's going to take a long time to recover from this.
The plane also took down power lines, starting a small brush fire.
That's ABC's Perry Russum. Contract fight between DirecTV and Disney, parent of ABC News, means Disney channels like ESPN and ABC have gone dark for millions of DirecTV subscribers. And Scottie Scheffler's golf game is paying off. Winning the Tour Championship won him $25 million and pushed his season earnings over $60 million. Being Scheffler's caddy, not too bad either. He earned about $5 million this year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
November 21st, 2021, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration, turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an eight-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It really does feel like we're the center of the presidential election here in the Badger State. This week, we had a visit from President Donald Trump in La Crosse, and then his running mate for Vice President J.D. Vance was in De Pere, and then the Democrats will be back here next week. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz will be in Milwaukee on Monday, and President Joe Biden will be in southwestern Wisconsin on Tuesday. And expect some heavier traffic this weekend, of course. Domestic travel is expected to be 9% higher than it was last year. And a gallon of gas is 34 cents cheaper than last year, too. AAA says the busiest times on the road are Friday afternoon. Luckily, that's behind us now. And all day Monday, so just be ready to be patient. Airports are also expected to be swamped. Enjoy, and wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, please be safe on this long weekend. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers blank the Giants. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Milwaukee's Aaron Civale and Aaron Ashby combined for a two-hit shutout to give the Brewers a series win over San Francisco. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers have been exceeding expectations.
This team is, as soon as you think they're, I don't know about this club. They don't have this guy. Who's this guy? They don't have enough of this. They don't have enough of that. they got enough of something.
The Brewers piled up 8 hits in the 6-0 victory. Now the Brewers turn the page to a doubleheader Friday against the Cincinnati Reds in Ohio, where temperatures are expected to be around 100 degrees. The Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tonight against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. It's the second year of the Luke Fickell era after going 7-6 a year ago. You can hear the Badgers tonight on our Civic Media stations WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, and WLAK, or on the free Civic Media app. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 28th, 2024. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network on the Civic Media app. Social media, podcast, however you got here, nice to have you here on this Wednesday morning, which means we're now at 69 days until the election. I've got a question for you. Where did the early morning sun go? And would somebody please bring it back? It's just a little too dark now during the 5 a.m. hour. And I know the sun's coming up even as we speak here, but I really was a fan of that, you know, 5:30 having the sun up. Something I could really get used to. But unfortunately, we only get it for a couple of months each year. Well, here's what's coming up on the show. First off, apologies. I've got a little bit of a sore throat here, so you might hear me pause now and then just to take a sip of water. But we just carry right on and tell you what we're going to be talking about today. Orange County resident Eric Hovde is going to be back in Orange County real soon doing a political fundraiser for a whole bunch of other Republicans, and I'm sure that he's going to benefit in some way, shape, or form. But the question is why would you do that when you already have a residency problem in Orange County versus Wisconsin, where you are running for U.S. Senate? We'll talk about the political stunt that Donald Trump pulled the other day at Arlington National Cemetery. It's now been learned that it didn't just happen. Cemetery staff or others did try to prevent it. There was a bit of an altercation before Trump used what is definitely hallowed ground for partisan political purposes. In our climate check, Vice President Kamala Harris has centered her campaign message on protecting and restoring freedom, including the freedom to have clean air and clean water. And in our second hour, we'll meet the newest reporter at Up North News, political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro, as she talks about covering last week's Democratic National Convention and the role played there by a Milwaukee mom who's been keeping the spotlight on the need to replace lead water pipes after her son suffered the effects of lead poisoning. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, again, 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number. You can also text us at that number, or you can call or text us through the Civic Media app, or you can put your questions and comments right there on social media. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, we would see you in the comment section there. And you can always email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. 6:09 now, and Greg Bach is along here in Waukesha as well. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hi.
You ever notice after a long, busy week or maybe a vacation or something, you think everything is fine and then you realize, maybe I pushed it a little too hard, or maybe I picked up a little something somewhere along the line. So,
oh, you mean you went to a big old event with a bunch of people there?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping whatever this is fairly mild, because yeah. I have a longer holiday weekend planned, and I would like to enjoy it just the same. Thank you very much. Let's get to the big announcement that Civic Media made yesterday. This is exciting, fun stuff. Would you not agree, Mr. Buck, that this is exciting, fun stuff that Civic Media announced yesterday?
I mean, I think it's super, super duper fun stuff. I mean, he told me himself.
He did?
Well, I mean, he came on our show yesterday and talked about it. But go ahead, talk about it.
Oh, okay. Who is this he? Who is this mystery person? That would be Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, who is now part of the Civic Media family. Civic Media announcing yesterday that it has acquired the Recombobulation Area, which is the Milwaukee-based online political news and opinion website that Mr. Schaefer formed some time back. He's been a guest on several Civic Media shows. He will now become the political editor for Civic Media and basically help shape the Civic Media political coverage, both online and on the air, which is super cool for a whole ton of reasons, not the least of which is he's a great guy. And yeah. he's gonna join us tomorrow morning in the 7 a.m. hour. But also because he's just very good at what he does. Look, there are so many people. I don't even want to guess at the number of people who have started a blog, or who have started a political blog, or who've tried to turn it into kind of a one-man news site, or maybe just a small news site with a couple of helpers. It takes something special to take that and give it credibility, make it work. It takes a lot of hustle to turn people into not just readers, but subscribers. And Dan does all that while at the same time being a young parent and trying to make sure you know that he has opinions on things, but still brings you fact-based news, same thing that we do over at Up North News. And like I said, I'm very happy for him, and I'm very happy for Civic Media that they have him on board.
It's going to be great. I mean, the outpouring of love from, you know, just not just Civic Media people, but like all around the country. I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus tweeted about it, because
Lake Michigan tweeted about it. Lake Michigan has a Twitter account and they tweeted congratulations.
They have a great Twitter account. Mount St. Helens, Lake Michigan, all the natural things have the snarkiest Twitter accounts you can find. But yeah, it really is a great thing to have Dan on board, and he came on the show yesterday to talk about it. And I mean, it's a win for everybody, but Civic Media, man, holy cow, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. It again just says something about the way that the network has grown. And I can say all these things because I'm not an employee of Civic Media. You know, Up North News is owned by Courier Newsroom. We're a completely separate entity, but I love the partnership that we have here with Civic Media. And so, you know, all praise to Civic Media for building out this network, putting all kinds of good people in there, not the least of which the guy sitting in Waukesha right now, and creating something that we hope people enjoy listening to and will only grow from here.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, very much so. Meanwhile, back over here at Little Up North News, we're still doing our thing. Like I said, we grew our staff recently, and we'll talk to Elizabeth Montemurro coming up in our next hour. Christina Laurie is still cranking out our newsletter every day, and you can get that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up by clicking subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. Among this morning's stories, how small manufacturers are already benefiting across the Midwest from the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS and Science Act to increase energy efficiency and bring more manufacturing back to America. Also, the Madison skyline protects the view of the state capitol, at least for now. Will future luxury high-rises maybe change that dynamic? Christina has a story about that in the newsletter. a story about water slides coming up ahead of the Labor Day weekend, or water parks, I should say. So all that and more in our newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. I have to find now why I'm turning to Eric Hovde. And I just have to get this out now, Greg, because that way I know I've got a defined time. I've only got exactly 4 minutes and 3 seconds is the most we can talk about this.
Okay.
But Eric Hovde, Orange County, California resident, owner of a bank that operates in California, Utah, Arizona, many other southwestern places, has been trying to shake this tag that he's a carpetbagger. Yeah, he was born and raised in Wisconsin. And then he left, by and large. He's been doing things across the country and around the world. And that's fine. He could do all those things. But when you come back just to run for U.S. Senate and, you know, handle things as clumsily as he has done. I mean, remember, how was it 5-6 weeks ago? He kind of missed a parade and he was seen resting on Laguna Beach with somebody.
That was 4th of July, buddy.
Remember we said that maybe in the future, don't find any reason to go back to Orange County? Well, I would direct your attention to a new flyer that came out with just filled with names. And a group called Reclaim the Majority, and they're having a big dinner in Orange County, California. The exact location given only to people who actually donate. And it lists all of these sponsors, and it lists all the special guests. Hey, Ron Johnson's going to be there. You know, Mike Lee, senator from Utah. John Cornyn, senator from Texas. Carrie Lake, wackadoodle from Arizona. Congressman Mike Rogers from Michigan. Oh, and Eric Hovde. Eric Hovde's going to be there as well. And this is all meant to help Senate Republicans reclaim the majority. I, again, offer my free services to any Republican campaign candidate or consultant that would care to listen. Do you own a phone or even a camcorder, a VHS camcorder, okay? With any of these things, you could make a really nice video. Hi, I'm Eric Hovde. I'm here in Ocano, that place where I missed a parade a few weeks back. But I'm out here, you know, kissing hands and shaking babies because I deserve to be the next U.S. Senator. And I'm so thankful all of you folks are back there in California. Thanks for your donations. They're going to help me win the state. They're going to help win the Senate Republican majority. I know one or two people over there. Say hi, wish them the best, but I am so busy here in Wisconsin. There's your free advice. Make the video before you put in writing that he's going to be back in Orange County for a big Republican fundraiser. And yes, I can hear people saying, come on, this is a big, big deal. It's a big deal. The one time you're going to go, hey, if you're going to do something like this, Senate Republicans, that's great. Hold it anywhere else in California, not Orange County. That's not too much to ask. Greg, it is not too much to ask.
It isn't too much to ask. I don't think so at all. I think it's very smart, but we don't rely on Eric Hovde and his campaign to be smart.
We do not. And so with that, we wish happy trails to Mr. Hovde in hopes that he has a good time at this big event taking place tomorrow in Orange County, California. When we come back, Donald Trump's people get into an altercation, allowing him to hold a political event at Arlington National Cemetery. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894, making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later, leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Frankie Valli, title track to Grease, the soundtrack for the motion picture. The motion picture was the big summer blockbuster of 1978, and that was the number one song on this day back in 1978. Reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. And there, we spoke ever so briefly in today's history lesson about it being National Dog Day. And Christina Laurie has certainly mentioned dogs there, including some of Wisconsin's best dog parks, but also all about getting some really good hot dogs at American Family Field. You see what she did there with the dogs? So an episode of the newsletter that has gone to the dogs. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage at upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you there as a subscriber. All right, Selena Heller is back with us as well, working on stories for Up North News, headed back to her old stomping grounds in the BRF area to talk about the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. That and, let's see, there was also ARPA, the American Rescue Plan, and some of the other ways that the Biden administration, and now the Biden-Harris administration, has worked to increase energy efficiency, fight climate change, but also make the ways to do that more affordable. And it's that part, Selena, the affordability measure that Black River Falls and other school districts were wrestling with.
Right. So in Black River, I mean, the buildings and ground supervisor's name is Kent Weinman, and he's been wanting to do something like this, you know, talking about it for a lot of years, but it just never was attainable and it just never made sense. And so these projects were kind of put out to other entities before, homeowners and solar panels and things like that. But now they're open to nonprofits and schools and churches. And so they thought they would take advantage of it because now they can afford it and now it makes sense. And so he talked to me, we went up on the roof. And so I've never been on the roof of the high school. I mean, I spent a 4 years there, but so it was my first time on the roof, of course. And so he talked about now they get a 30% tax credit, which made it something that they wanted to do. This is Kent Weinman.
You look to lean towards on that solar, but then realize the price point is the payback wouldn't be for 20 years. We'd only get 5 years of free electric. When that 30% rebate came, that was the selling point right there. It's like, okay, these will be paid off in 12 years and we'll be running free.
And that's the important thing is to calculate that return on investment. I mean, again, it's very easy to for somebody to say, oh, well, free money. Sure. Well, let's put up solar panels. But then if they never actually pay for themselves, they're not worth the investment. But yeah, he definitely you get the impression from the story that you can read at upnorthnewswi.com. This is a guy that's run the numbers repeatedly to make sure that this works.
Oh, right. And they look, they've done they're called a legacy project because they have done so many updating projects and looking at all of their energy things from the company that installed the solar panels, because they've done so many upgrades in the HVAC system and LED, putting in LED lighting. And so he's really committed to kind of things like this and looking at projects. So what this is they, the energy offset is 22%. That's what they're hoping to get out of this. And then that's $15,000 a year in savings for them. And they got to focus on energy utility rebate for more than $13,000 and then the one-time Inflation Reduction Act tax credit of $87,000. So that's how it's a lot of numbers. But that now he talks about even more savings on top of that. And here's how he explains that.
You can save money in two different ways with the solar panels. The number that shows you saving $15,000 in savings in electrical savings, that's just part of the picture. Another part of the picture got explained to me is, okay, you're saving $15,000 in cost, but that's also lowering our demand from the utility. And by lowering our demand from the utility, that can drop us into a lower rate. So we're saving $15,000 directly from our utility bill, but by dropping into a lower rate, we might be able to save another $10,000 to $15,000 just with our rate charge. So that's the hope, is maybe $25,000 in savings.
$25,000 in savings is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's a big number. Yeah. Like, yeah, when you look at it that way, and then you see, then after this 12 years, they have the solar panels have a lifespan of 25. So in 12 years, they're paid for. So they have 13 years of all of this money coming back.
Yeah. And so, and it's not, of course, just solar panels. You've already talked about school buses, electric buses, other district owned vehicles that could replace, you know, older fossil fuel burning models. But then there's also the angle as well that school districts can partner with the neighboring community or other communities to provide benefits to residents as well. There are just so many available options out there where, again, that tax credit comes to a nonprofit like a school district, basically in the form of a direct payment, which can help offset the cost of all these things. Now, interestingly enough, Selena, for all the talk about what was happening up on the roof, it's probably another project that he was working on at the time that gets more attention. The new scoreboard is that where the football team plays?
Well, right. Yeah. They're getting, the day I was there, they were putting up a new scoreboard. And so he's like, okay, I'll meet you up on the roof in a little bit. And so he was over there and then we were doing that. And then the funny thing is, he's like, you know, that's a visible project. This project is not visible for people. So what we're doing is we want people to see this. And so we're putting a monitor in the foyer of the school. And so students can watch the energy usage and things like that and see that, you know, more energy is being received during the midday or whatever. So they can use it as a tool in their classroom and other people can see the project that's on the roof. You can put the solar panels in a field or whatever, but you can't see them on the roof. But a football scoreboard, you can see a big project like that. But he said, we want people to see this and see what we're doing here.
I love that. I love the idea of the monitor in the lobby that you can look at and, you know, actually see the benefit. I think more politicians ought to be doing that. If, you know, the Biden-Harris administration should have like these monitors or these billboards up, you know, that show the actual savings so that it's not just some kind of a concept, but that you see cold, hard numbers. And you know that some teacher somewhere is going to turn that into like, okay, today's math problem is to go out to the lobby and, and here's what it said last week. And basically the kids are going to calculate the savings to the taxpayer, you know, and sure. Look,
and then cloudy days versus yes. sunny days. And,
yes.
And here's a funny thing too, that, you know, people were like, what about snow? How's that going to work? And they produce just enough that the snow will melt off. And then it also acts as a cleaning of the solar panels when the snow slides off. So
exactly.
Snow is nice.
Yeah. I mean, for all the, you know, Trump makes all these jokes about, oh, what if it's cloudy? It's like, it still works. And even when it doesn't work, if there's battery backup or it just works at a lower level, like you said, yeah. And then you more than make up for it on some of those sunny days as well. Yep. Selena Heller, you can follow the story she's working on, upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnews on your favorite social media posts for her videos. Thanks, Selena. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. When we come back, some more voices from the Democratic National Convention, folks that we talked to, including the Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, coming up next here up north.
This is the time, is the place, is the motion.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Stockmanship and Stewardship Workshop in Lancaster this week was one of just four of its kind in the nation this year. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Kurt Pate was one of the presenters coming all the way from Montana. He performed a live cattle handling demonstration with both beef and dairy beef animals. He shares some of his wisdom with us.
Mostly it's about proper pressure. And there's three kinds of pressure, driving and drawing and maintaining. And that's what our big focus is going to be. And then just kind of breaking some paradigms and habits that people might have and just try to get it where it's easier for them to understand how to put the right pressure on at the right time and get your cattle to work for you with a minimum amount of stress. People need to understand how good the relationship and the handling of cattle can be if we improve our skills and knowledge and just do a little thinking and a little bit of controlling your emotions.
Kurt Pate has been demonstrating cattle handling for about 20 years. He says it actually all started with horses in Wisconsin at the Midwest Horse Fair. We'll take a look at our morning markets next.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
Commodity prices are seeing a lift on a Friday morning. Cash corn is trading up 3.25 cents at $3.75 a bushel. December new crop corn up a penny and a quarter at $3.97 and a quarter. Cash soybeans are up 9.25 cents at $9.83 a bushel. November new crop soybeans are up 10.25 cents at $10.02 and three quarters. And cash and new crop wheat is up 0.75 cents at $5.25 and three quarters. Looking at the Class 3 milk contracts, the September contract is up 9 cents at $22.27 a hundredweight. The October contract is up 4 cents at $22.66 a hundredweight. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese was up 4.75 cents, closing at $2.17 and a quarter. The 40-pound block cheese was unchanged from Wednesday at $2.07 and a half, and AA butter closed down 2.75 cents at $3.17 a pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly, so get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Cranberries, not the cranberries, but cranberries, one of the topics we're going to be discussing here in a sec with Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. First, a reminder that you can stay up to date with the latest news in Wisconsin that's covered by Civic Media with a digest, civicmedia.us/email. You'll get top podcast hours of your favorite Civic Media programs, news and commentary from the Civic Media team, and learn what's going on across the entire statewide network right in your inbox each week. Again, civicmedia.us/email for the Civic Media Digest. And of course, at Up North News, you can follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County is going to talk to us about the cranberry harvest, the potential impact of a railroad strike in Canada, and then, of course, a VIP visit. I thought we were going to start with the VIP visit to Hans's farm, but Hans is going to be a little busy this morning working on last night's storm. It made a little noise out by you, Hans. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Pat. I don't know what it was by you guys, but we got real strong wind, and so we lost a big tree in our yard, and our neighbor across the road was actually chasing calves around her yard at midnight because some of ours got spooked and got loose. So we had
a little. Oh, no. Oh,
everybody's fine.
Well, and it never happens in nice weather. I know that Sherry, growing up on a dairy farm, has talked about, again, having to be out in the rain. And that's when, you know, something happens. Either somebody topples a fence or blows down or whatever. And there you are, chasing livestock in the rain.
Yeah.
Not my definition of a fun day.
No.
So appreciate you taking some time to visit with us before you got to go creating the next batch of firewood over there, I guess. But in happier news from the farm, you had a VIP come by the place, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah. Yep, we sure did. Senator Tammy Baldwin stopped by on her way to Farm Technology Days. So we got to visit with the senator, and that was an enjoyable visit, and I think a pretty informative one as well.
You know, it takes me back to she was first elected in 2012, and I'm sure there were concerns, like, you know, this Madison congresswoman, former legislator, you know, what's she going to be like as a U.S. senator? And, you know, having worked for her during her first few months in office, saw that immediately. This was somebody that was going to pour herself right into the job of wanting to learn, you know, as much about Wisconsin and various industries as possible, you know, from farming to paper mills and timber to, you know, manufacturing, you name it. And it is really noteworthy how much she has been able to get done through the Senate Appropriations Committee with a subcommittee that is geared toward agriculture and the rural economy. This was, I'm guessing this was a well-informed stop. This wasn't just some drop-in where, you know, she didn't want to actually get her hands dirty.
No, I was impressed. I was really impressed. I mean, these things have to move fast because, of course, you know, Senator Baldwin's supposed to be in 16 places at once, but were able to spend probably about an hour here walking through the barn and talking about policy, you know. And I was impressed by that, because this could have been just a photo op kind of thing to have her picture taken with some cows in the background. But she took the time to talk about some policy. We had one-on-one time to talk about policy. She wasn't afraid to answer questions that the press and that local folks had about, you know, about rural economies and so forth. And I think she really gets it. I was pretty impressed.
Well, it really is a contrast with what I was just saying before the break, having watched, you know, 2 years of local news coverage of Derek Van Orden, who does these farm visits and has nothing of substance to say other than, well, we're gonna try to get a farm bill done, and hasn't been really asked, much less answering any tough questions about, you know, why Republicans in the House have done nothing in terms of a farm bill. And as we've discussed, Hans, this is not something that exists in the vacuum. The lack of an updated farm bill, I mean, it's worse than, it's not like having no legislation at all, but it's so much ruined potential for how Congress could make life better for Wisconsin farmers.
Yeah, and I think that's lost on the general public, because most people obviously don't tune into the farm bill. But you're right. It's one of those quiet things that is very, very impactful for both consumers and farmers, and really just the entire rural economy. It just has impact, and that those guys can't get it done is just bananas to me. It really is. But Senator Baldwin, like I say, she's very open-minded and very smart, and I think a quick study on these things, and also I think most importantly, doesn't just focus on symptoms, but understands some of these larger issues like antitrust legislation and so forth that has to be dealt with in order to get those farm gate prices where they need to go.
Yeah. Well, we are looking ahead now to what Wisconsin farmers are going to be producing. And I picked cranberries this week just because there was a recent survey based on the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service's Crop Production Report, that's a mouthful, that now says Wisconsin cranberry growers are looking to harvest a crop of nearly 5 million barrels of cranberries. And that, of course, means that now you've got about 250 cranberry farms in Wisconsin producing more than 60% of the nation's supply. And Hans, I remember, I mean, we're going back 25, 30 years now, but I remember when every year it was kind of a race with Massachusetts as far as who, which state was going to be producing more cranberries than the other. And clearly at some point, Wisconsin producers said, hold my cranberry juice. And, you know, suddenly it was Bog-a-rama here. I don't know what else explains the big increase in production.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a crop that we don't produce here on our farm, but boy, we're sure glad that the cranberry producers exist. They bring a lot of value to the state's economy. It's just another wonderful thing that Wisconsin produces a hell of a lot of.
You see its use highlighted more. We talked about how on Top Chef Wisconsin, one of the challenges was to, you know, make a dish with cranberries, not your traditional Thanksgiving meal. But yeah, Wisconsin's out here at 5 million barrels. Massachusetts, they said they're having a good year, but they're going to produce about 2 million barrels. Number three is New Jersey at 500,000 barrels, and Oregon about the same. And they're all saying it's going to be a good crop. And again, anytime we have a crop that is doing well, it's going to go well for farmers, provided there's a market for them. And I guess that's always the big question, whether it's dairy, cranberries, you know, cash crops and otherwise. It's, you know, it's one thing to talk about the growing conditions and the harvest, but now you got to have a place to sell them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that takes all the infrastructure. You mentioned rail earlier, and you know, that's just another piece of the puzzle. Everybody has to do their thing and get along and make, and I think it comes down to everybody being able to get a little something out of the system. It has to be multi-sided from that standpoint.
Yeah. By the way, in terms of the economic impact of the tiny little cranberry in Wisconsin, the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association told the Wisconsin State Farmer newspaper that cranberry production generates $1 billion in state economic impact and provides thousands of local jobs across Wisconsin. Obviously, we've done the same talking about dairy and other things. And one of the whole points of our biweekly visits here is to help people better appreciate the tremendous economic impact of farming across Wisconsin. But it does get us to that notion of the infrastructure. And I thought last week when we set this up, I feared, Hans, that we were going to be talking about a railroad strike in Canada that would have been crippling, well, not just to farmers in Wisconsin, but to, you know, manufacturers and consumers all around. It's kind of like the way we dodged a bullet, what was it, about a year ago with a potential railroad strike in the U.S. There's just so many components that make up, you know, the path from the farm to the table.
Absolutely. And the rail infrastructure is something that, again, public policy has a place to play. You know, I've heard very, very conservative people say that we should nationalize the railroad. And I think that might have some, you know, that might be something worth considering. I don't see how that could ever happen, but without that infrastructure that we rely on, and that we could rely on more if the infrastructure was better kept and less monopolized, it becomes, again, an avenue for whether it's raw materials or farm produce and crops and things to move where it needs to move efficiently and effectively. But that means everybody has to do well, right? The people who run those things and the people who work for them all have to be able to make a decent living.
Absolutely. And I was looking at the notes about the Canadian one. Well, I should back up a step. In the U.S., it was President Biden who stepped in and basically, you know, imposed a deal but allowed negotiations to continue. And in the interim, since that happened, railroad workers and their unions have continued to push for paid vacation time and paid sick days. The paid sick days was the really big sticking point. And I'm happy to report it took months more of negotiating. But by and large, the unions that were threatening to strike have since won paid sick days as part of, you know, the ongoing agreement to operate the rail lines. There are similar issues going on with Canada, where, again, the government has appointed an arbitrator who ended a lockout last week after only about 16 hours. But as a result, you know, those negotiations can now continue with both Canadian National and Canadian Pacific. But Hans, it just seems odd to me, and I know farmers don't get paid sick days. I understand that. But when I'm looking at other industries like railroads, it still baffles me that in the year 2024, we're still having fights about paid sick days and what railroad workers or workers anywhere have to do to keep their job and you know, under terrible circumstances, either through their illness or taking care of a family member.
Yeah. Well, again, Pat, it just comes down to the notion that you know, we need to make sure that everybody has a dignified situation as much as possible. That should be our goal, and making sure that people are taken care of. And especially, you know, if they work hard, they should be treated well. And, you know, when you look at again, it's a corporate profit kind of mentality that we measure our success in our economy by looking at what corporate profits were, rather than sometimes focusing on, you know, what people closer to the ground are getting out of their work in terms of financially and, you know, socially and so forth. Those are the things that we should measure versus just that almighty corporate, you know, dollar at the top.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's about so much more than shareholder price. For example, in this instance, we're talking about the railroad workers, but we could just as easily be talking about our ports. Recall, was it last year or the year before, where levels on the Mississippi were so low that barges weren't able to necessarily, you know, either come to get crops or take crops to the marketplace. You've got the infrastructure work that Tammy Baldwin and others have been securing funding for at the Port of Milwaukee and Green Bay and Duluth Superior and more. And thankfully, we haven't really had truck drivers in the news recently. I recall in years gone by, there were talk of trucker strikes and things like that. It really just goes to show how interconnected all of this is and why we need this broader view of the value of farming and everything around it to our everyday life in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And I think the, you know, unfortunately, the knee jerk sometimes for farmers or small business people is to sort of grumble and say, well, I don't get a paid sick day, or, you know, that type of attitude. But we shouldn't be in the business of pulling one another down. We should be in the business of lifting one another up. And I think when you've got, whether it's rail workers or truck drivers or what have you, able to, you know, have that sick day, able to be home with a sick child, you know, those types of things, that lifts everybody's up. Everybody's boat that lifts everyone up. So that's what we should be focused on, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Or as Tony posted on YouTube just now, it sounds like some kind of global supply chain or something. And yes, it does. We're all very reliant on that. And then it's a matter of how you deal with it. Hans Breitenmoser, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Good luck with all the cleanup, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Take care.
All right. Chad Holmes will join us next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, that would be the sound that you would hear on just ahead of the Chad Holmes radio show. which will be happening about 15 minutes from now on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area, or you can listen on the Civic Media app anywhere and catch Chad every day from 8 to 10. And while we wait to see if Chad is able to join us this morning, quick note here from Janet, who writes in on Facebook, thanks for mentioning Stevie Ray Vaughan and using his music for your bumper. That and so many other reasons got me hooked on Up North News. I so much appreciate your daily program. We need you to keep up your good work. Have a great day. Vote blue. Thank you very much, Janet, for such a nice comment. Stevie Ray Vaughan's Crossfire is the song that we play at the beginning and the end of our show. And it's not just because it's a killer song. But it's also, I do just like that whole message of being caught in the crossfire, that I think that that's a perfect metaphor for where we feel in our politics these days. And while you know that I'm, you know, definitely left of center, it's still left of center. We're, so many more of us are to a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right of center than on the extremes. And I think we all feel caught up that way. And I think Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of captured that in that song. Maybe he didn't intend it to be a political song, but that's where we are, where we have this lovely show. Greg pushes the buttons. The song comes on. Chad Holmes pops up from Wausau and joins us now. Mr. Holmes, good morning.
I am such an idiot.
And good morning to you too, Chad.
Why do you not like BLTs too? No, what's the deal?
Hey!
I get in here and I, you know, it's like I'm always running around and it's like I tend to be a little tight when I get in for this appearance every week. I get on, I get up the email, I hit the link to come on here, and then it's not working. And I realize, well, I hit Monday's link, so then I go backwards and it gets me into this cycle where they ask me to reboot it.
Oh no!
This is just I just want to throw my computer against the wall.
I'm making you wait by telling
Stevie Ray Vaughan stories, and I apologize for.
I'm happy to do that. I was glad Janet put that comment up on Facebook to give us a reason to, because otherwise, Greg and I would have to fight about sandwiches again, and I don't want to fight with
you.
Greg,
have to
anymore.
Fight with me. You're wrong, and I win. So that's it. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, Pat, I just accept the reality and accept your destiny.
Now, needless to say, Pat's not going to let this go, because I got Chad today, I've got Todd tomorrow, I've got Luke on Thursday to continue to run up the score.
Here's
if
the
you
thing,
will.
Pat, is you could talk to Chad, Todd, Luke, the Holy Ghost himself. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I think I got an ace in a hole here. What about Luke's opinion on BLTs? What if he likes them?
Everyone has their flaws.
I gotta say something right there. I mean, no matter what the opinion of myself and everybody else, you have to have a respect for somebody that says, I don't care if there's a million other people that disagree with me.
A million.
I'm sure right now there are at least 10 to 15 million people who disagree with me. At least.
And I got respect for you for standing on your beliefs. I think that's truly what makes America.
I think we're burying the lead here, that we just found something where Greg does not defer to the very handsome, very capable Luke Mathers. We have found a chink in the armor, perhaps. So let us hope that this is the only thing.
Are you saying that I'm not incredibly handsome, or all balls are incredibly handsome? Or
I'm just saying that Greg knows.
Yeah,
you know,
Pat, you want to answer that question for Chad?
I mean, I come in here this time, I'm getting ready for my show, and I'm told that I'm not Luke Mathers.
Hey, he just called me an idiot, so whatever.
Wow, see, now this is how political slurs take place, where you take what was not said and turn it into something that was said, even though it was not said.
I'm going to hire that guy from Milwaukee to make me some flyers to hand out here in the All right, I think we run around that circle.
No. Greg had one more. He was reloading for
one
more.
I was just going to say, when Chad joined us, he said, I'm an idiot, and you responded with, what, you don't like BLTs too? Yeah.
I don't need BLTs, just so you know. So
I'm oh, my goodness. Now there it goes. There it goes.
I'm not a BLT guy. So
I thought I had an ally, and away I go. What are you talking about on the show today, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, what am I talking about today on the show? Holy cow. You know, one thing I'm actually going to touch on, you know, sort of a lighter topic, is there is not a Badger game on Friday. Even though...
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.